This week, we're going to learn, hearing the voice of God. The voice of God brings intimacy. Okay. Lord, thank you for your word, for your word is life. Anoint our minds, we may understand, our ears, that we may hear, our heart, we may receive. Bless your word this afternoon. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the book of Proverbs 20 and 12, which is our key verse for this whole series, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord made them both. You see that? Look at what he says in Mark 4 and 9 also. He said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes we think that automatically we have an ear, we should hear. No, no, no. This tells you that hearing is intentional. And so for us to hear the voice of God, we must be intentional. Have you ever spoken to someone and I gave you this crazy illustration and you're talking to them and they're going, hey. How does that make you feel? And then you look at them, you say, did you hear me? Uh-huh, yeah. What did I say? Right? Because hearing is intentional. It's very intentional. You look at that person, you spend time, and they are the one on one with you. You know what I heard about a lot of politicians? They say that the best politicians make you feel like you're the only one in the room, even though they don't know your name. Wow. They really make you feel like for that 2 or 5 seconds, you're the only one in the room. And how? It's because they're intentionally doing certain things to make you feel that way. Things do not happen just because. Things happen because you're intentional. God, you don't hear God just because. You hear God because you are intentional about listening to what he has to say. You know that? When you came to the church, it's not easy with all the things that's going on after the hurricane. You have to be intentionally planning to come here. And so for you to hear God, it's just like anything that you want to do, right? It is, there has to be a plan. There has to be intention. You have to scope it out, plan it out. No one plans to fail, but they fail to plan. I want you to look with me today as we study the word. Voice of God brings intimacy. John 15:15. And today I'm going to give you some things. And I want to just teach you this because in this next season of our spiritual life, I believe that the man and a woman that really hears God's voice, it's going to allow you to walk through all this noise that's going around us. You see all this noise, this distraction? You know, man, there is a lot of distraction right now. I don't even want to turn on the news. I was like, oh, God, please. You know, I don't even watch TV. I'm just like, you know. And now it's like you don't even want to go on the internet because it's just all this stuff. You know, there's rumors of war and we're about to do this and that. And I'm just like, Lord, I really need to hear your voice. Because what happens is if we don't hear God's voice, it will bring us down a path and we will be part of this tsunami, this hurricane of just frivolous noise. See, we have to get into that place where we become intimate. Look at what John 15:15, Jesus says. No longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Sorry, get my water here. Can we read that again? No longer do I. I have made known to you. You know, the key word here is called. He has called. The Bible says that he has called what? Us to be his friends. He doesn't call us servants. He calls you his friend. That means there is relationship there. There is a interchange of listening and voice. That word called means he's called you to be where he's at and you to be at his level of understanding and to be at his level of revelation. Do you understand that when you consider somebody your friend, you let them into your life that you would not allow anyone else to? Does, you know, have you ever had, you know, well, maybe no one here, but if you live in other countries, they tend to have servants. They have maids, right? She's not in the room, but my wife grew up with maids, okay, down in Brazil. She had three or four of them. They are the ones that, but see, her parents never allowed the maids or the servants, the people that clean their home, cook for them, and do all this stuff, to really know what they're doing. But when they have friends, friends get to be part of your life that your servants or servants don't. Is that true? It's true. And so Jesus says, I want you to bring you into my world because you are my friend. And see, a lot of times when we read this verse, we're like, wow, that's cool. But it is cool, but we have to have a deeper understanding about something. One of the things is when we become servants of God, which we are because by faith or by our attitude, because we want to serve the Lord. But what he's saying is friendship is better than servants. Friendship with the Lord is better than servants. You know why? Because your friend does something for you that is because of the love they have for you. Servants do it because they want something from you. Oh, geez. Do you understand that? See, friendship, they do things. They are your friend out of love, but servants, it's out of want. That's why most Christians, I would say like this, they just want things from God. They don't want to be in relationship. They want the blessing of God, but they don't want the change that it requires. See, because when you are in relationship with a friend, there are certain things that you're willing to change because you know it will bless your friend. True? There are certain compromises and certain sacrifices that you're willing to do for your friend. True? True. The voice of God brings intimacy with God. Look at what Psalm 73, 28 says. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. You know what that word draw near means? Do things that are godly. You know what? Start reading his word. Start praying, even if you don't pray a lot. Start writing praises, even if you can't write but one or two sentences. Hang out with people that love God. That's a new one. Hang out with people that love God. Right? When you're going nightclubbing every night, and we can't find you, and you don't want nothing to do with God, you're not drawing near to God. Okay? Living the vida loca is really the other side of living for Jesus. Because Jesus don't want you to live the vida loca. Jesus wants you to live a life of purpose and a life of destiny and a plan. You ever see people who live the vida loca? You don't never know what they're going to do next. That's why they call it vida loca. That's why they call it loco. It's crazy. Right? God, we draw near to God by going and doing and being intentional about God. Being intentional about loving God. Being intentional, being hanging out with the godly people. I'm not saying, I used to have a friend, he was just crazy. In college, he was nuts. And every time there was something crazy, he intentionally go to that place. He thought it was the craziest thing. And I say, man, that's just crazy. Right? He was crazy in a lot of things that he did. We thought it was funny and he would try to bring me in. I said, I can't do that. That is not within me. The second thing out of James 4, it says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what he's saying there? That's not a criticism. He's saying if you make a step towards God, he'll make a step towards you. But he says this. He said that if there is something that you have in your life that's not righteous, begin to clean your hands and ask the Lord, Lord, purify my heart. I'm wrong. Help me. See, a lot of times we think it's easy, but it's not. You know that we think it's easy, but it's not. Drawing to God requires you to make sacrifice. Drawing to God requires you to change. Oh, we want the blessing, but oftentimes we don't want the change. Drawing to God requires us to change. And if you draw close to God and you have intimacy with God, you will automatically be intimate and be intentional with other people. Did you know that? Before I knew God, I didn't care for much for other people. That's just the truth. It's true. I didn't care much for how other people acted. I didn't care. I really didn't care. But when I became a pursuer and a lover of Jesus Christ, I began to look at people and I felt the lostness and the desperation and the sadness and all the things that they have to deal with. And I said, oh God, how can that be? It's because I have been intimate with God. And when you're intimate with God, you begin to change the way you act, the way you talk, the way you think, and the way you feel. The voice of God brings you to that intimate place. How many here today have honestly said this week that you felt the intimacy of the voice of God? Don't raise your hand. That's just for your own. Have you listened to the voice of God? Were you still enough this week and say, God spoke to me? God spoke to me. I want to give you something here that most people get confused. Did you know that knowledge does not necessarily bring intimacy? A lot of people think, but Pastor, I know all the Bible. I do every Bible study I know. I go to every Bible study group I can go to. I'm at Bible study every week from Monday through Friday. And I come to church and go twice on Sunday. Right? And they can quote. Did you know that knowledge does not necessarily bring you to the intimacy with God? Think about it for a minute. Did you know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew a lot of Scripture, didn't they? And look at what Jesus tells them. He's like, look, you are a bunch of hypocrites. Right? You know all this Scripture, but when I come to you, you don't want to be part of me. And that's how many people are. And so just because you know a lot does not mean it brings you to intimacy. Biblical knowledge and understanding should fuel trust and faith in Christ. Otherwise, it will bring us to a place of pride. You know what? Knowledge of the Word of God should fuel us to get closer. Knowledge of the Word of God should bring us into that place to trust. Did you know that how we can become intimate with God? We have to trust Him. Think about it in a relationship. The more you trust somebody, the more it's easier to become intimate with them spiritually and emotionally. And if you're husband and wife, I can dare to tell you, it becomes much more than that. But you can become very close to someone and not be physically intimate with them. You look at Jesus and his disciples, right? They knew the Lord. Right? Spiritually and emotionally, and they felt his pain. There are oftentimes they saw his heartbreak for the nation. Just because you know a lot does not mean you are intimate with the Lord. I would say like this, be careful that your knowledge does not bring you to pride. Look what John 5, 39, 40 say. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, a lot of people are willing to do a whole lot of stuff, but they don't want to come to the Lord. They like the atmosphere of exciting. They like the atmosphere of having fun. Did you know that anybody can draw a crowd? You can light yourself on fire and people will come look at you. But that does not mean there's change. See, intimacy has to be more than just aesthetics. The second thing I want to tell you that aesthetic environment and atmosphere does not necessarily bring you to intimacy. It should, environment, atmosphere should encourage our intimacy with Jesus, but nothing replaces our one-on-one time with Him. I'll put it like this. Okay? A pastor put it like this. He said a lot of people are like, oh, I can be intimate with the Lord if the music is just right. Right? If the praise team sing the right song. We got all these fog lamps and fog lights and all this. Oh, they made the atmosphere and they think they're intimate. It's like this. It's like if you're married and you go and take your spouse to a candlelit dinner, right? If you don't have trust and you don't have love, that candlelight dinner will mean nothing after you walk out. It's back to the old status quo. It's true. See, environment does not bring you automatically to intimacy if you're not having it before. It should encourage you to build upon what you already have. So when you come to church, that the music and the sounds and the songs and the singing and the beautiful music and the environment that we create and the atmosphere should encourage you and say, oh God, I want to go home in my everyday, Monday through Saturday, that I want to have a time with you, that I would just sit in my room or sit in my place and say, God, I want to hear your voice and begin to spend time with the Lord. I want to tell you, just because you have a candlelit dinner does not mean you're intimate. Because after the candles go out, it doesn't matter if you have a candlelight dinner every night. That has nothing to do with your trust or your love one for another. Is that true? The same way with God. We think that aesthetically, if we have all this stuff, if we do all these things, if we have all this environment, those things are great and I love it, but that does not necessarily mean it will bring us to that place. And people think by going to candlelight dinners. I remember counseling a young couple, okay? They had great financial means. And I'm telling you, great financial means. Money was not a problem. And how would you like to have that nice little problem? That money is not an issue. Like, they tell me straight, well, Pastor, we don't have money worries. We're totally debt-free, do whatever we want, buy whatever we want. Oh, that's very nice, okay? But yet they were very, you could see them, they weren't out there spending a bunch. But I noticed that every time their marriage gets dry, they always take these big vacations. You know, they take a week trip to romantic places and this and that. And then that'll last for about 1 or 2 months. And then they'll be on the rocks again. Their marriage is having problems. And they do this through 10 years of marriage. And one day they finally came to me and the man was just disgusted, right? He was just like, man, I don't know what's going on. And the wife was just as disgusted. It's like, you know, every time they have, boom. You know, they'll go on a trip or she'll go on a trip or this and that. And I tell them like this. I said, the problem is not that the trip. The problem is you never solve the problem. The situation is you put a Band-Aid on and you change the environment. The problem's still there. Right? You know, that's like going and you're not feeling well and you go down to Hawaii. Well, you're still not feeling well in Hawaii. Does that make sense? Right? And so here they are. They've got problems. And they think that by changing the environment, they automatically, no, you got the flu when you were home, and you brought the flu with you in Hawaii. And it's the same flu. So the problem is you better deal with it and change it and learn how to love each other when you have nothing or you have nothing instead of trying to put a Band-Aid on everything. And that's how a lot of times we do with our heart and our mind in the Lord. You see, when we are getting dry, instead of stopping and saying, God, what's wrong with me? We try to jump from here to there, and maybe we change churches, or maybe we go to this revival or this, and those things are great. But if you're dry, those things should encourage you to get back onto the track. But if you don't have trust and you don't have faith and you don't know how to get intimate with God, that is not going to change you. Going to trips will not change your marriage. You've got to get down and be intimate and say, Lord, what do I do? That's why when you're on the praise team, which I was part of one for many, many years, One of the most difficult is when you hear people say, "Man, you didn't sing the song I like today. I couldn't get with Jesus." And I used to say, "Well, John the Baptist didn't have music in the wilderness, and he got with Jesus." True, right? King David didn't have a band. He was out there watching sheep. He got with Jesus. In the midst of smelling the sheep and all the dung, and dung between his feet, and he got with Jesus. I said, so the point of it is we try to create an atmosphere to encourage you to bring that home with you. Right? And that's what church is supposed to do. It wasn't always a pond. He said, "Oh, but even King David made the spirits, the bad spirits subside in King Saul." Yeah, and King Saul never got deliverance. He tried to kill the man. You got to be careful how you do and think about things. And so the atmosphere and the environment should encourage us to spend more one-on-one time with the Lord. How do you hear? Now, I know you're asking now, and I'm going to give it to you. How do we draw near to God? I know you were asking. Thank you for asking. The first thing is, the only way you can draw close to God is you have to have faith in Jesus. Amen. You have to have faith and trust in Jesus, that He knows what you and I need. You have to know what He believes, or you have to trust and have faith in Jesus to know what you need for your life. See, a lot of times we're just like, "Oh, I'm good." No, a lot of times we're running here and there. No, you have to have so much faith and so much trust in God that He knows, you have to know, "God, I know that my life is in Your hand." I read a story today or this week of a lady that had a friend. And this lady is a Christian, and I think she's a pastor's wife. And she said that she had this girlfriend, and she was her girlfriend was very close to her. And she's 40 years old, never been married. Her girlfriend has never been married. She's 40. And every time they come together, the only thing that she would ever ask this pastor's wife, her friend, was, "Could you pray that I get a husband? It don't matter. I just want to be married. I just want to be married. I'm not picking on anybody today. It's just God told me to share this." And one of the things that she realized was in John 10, he says, "I come to give life and life more abundant." And when you look at that word life, it's a word called zoe, which is the life force of God. And see, you have to be whole and intimate with God, because what I recognize when she was speaking, she said, "I'm married." And what I recognize is when I put all my trust and my faith in my husband trying to make me whole, it never worked. It's because there's a place in God that only for Him. And she said that I was in the same place. And what I recognized is I put all this pressure upon my husband to be the one to make me whole and make me satisfied. And what I recognize is after all these years of marriage, what I really needed was to be intimate with God. And when you're intimate with God, everything begins to work out. Everything begins to work out. Everything. He says, look, in Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Look, we have to come boldly before the throne. The first thing is have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The second thing, how do you draw near and hear His voice? Ask God to help you. "Lord, help me to be intimate with You." That's very simple, isn't it? We act like we got to do all this. The Lord just says, "Would you ask me and I'll help you?" It's simple. Really? Ask me to help you to be intimate with me. You know, my pastor used to say, you let people know how you want to be treated. I used to think, what? Yeah. You let people know how you want to be treated. Think about this, like this. If you had a friend, a real good friend, and they keep doing something that you dislike, if they really was your friend, or if you really believe that they're your friend, would you not tell them, don't do that anymore? I don't like it. Right? And so they're like, well, I didn't know you didn't like that. And the same way, if you like something, don't you tell your friend, I really like that when you say it like that. Oh, cool. Right? And so we have to ask the Lord to say, Lord, we want to be intimate with you. How do we do that? And can you teach me to have relationship with you? And the Lord will begin to give you instruction. Isn't that amazing? That, Lord, how do you want me to spend time with you? Ask him, and he will guide you. See, most of us always depend on what the pastors do, what the leaders do, but why don't you ask the Lord this week while you're writing in your praise book, Lord, teach me how to spend time. Teach me how to be intimate with you, because every person's relationship with Jesus Christ is different. It's not better, it's just different. Different is not better, it's just different. See, some of you are night owls. You like to spend time with the Lord in the midnight hour, like at 12, 1 o'clock, okay? There are some of you that are early birds. Like the early bird gets the worm. You like to be up with the Lord like at 5 in the morning. I got a friend like that. He gets up at 3:30 in the morning, goes outside and waits for the birds to sing and everything. He's talking to Jesus. And he said, brother, you got to come. I said, brother, I'm asleep at 3:30. Call me about 5, maybe, you know, but 3:30, I mean, literally, and I said, and I laugh at him, what, you go to sleep at 8 o'clock? He goes, yeah, actually, I do. Oh, okay, well, if you go to sleep at 8 o'clock, you know, 8:30, I'm a pastor, most people still talking to me at 11, you know, right? But that's his thing, and then there's other people that spend time with the Lord in their lunch hour or their break, and they are really intimate with the Lord. Whatever works for you, you have to ask the Lord. But I recommend getting up early like the Lord did and spend time with him if you're capable. You know, I used to think, Lord, help me. I want to get up early. So God, help me to get up and so I can spend time with you. That was something I wanted to do. Ask God for help. Look. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You need to ask. You need to ask the Lord to help you. Look at what James 4:2-3 says. You lust and do not have. You murder, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You know, a lot of times we are warring and we are trying to do all this stuff and fighting and getting, you know, trying to, no, ask the Lord. Lord, teach me. You know that I asked the Lord to help me to raise my kids. Lord, I don't know how to deal with them. All three of them are different. Literally, all three of them are different. I remember my little one, right? My littlest one, she was like 5 years old, and I have this very light stick. I mean, it's made of balsa wood. It's nothing, okay? And I'm saying, okay, I'm going to spank you and I spank her, and it's not hard. And she looked at me, and she's like, why are you spanking me? And she's crying. She said, why are you spanking? You should calm me down. Daddy, why are you spanking me? You should calm me down. And she's telling me, right? I'm thinking, okay, this is not working, right? But yet, if I took that same stick to my oldest one when she was her age, she'd be scared and she said, yes, Daddy. She just see it and she's running. The little one is standing there and let you beat her. Literally, right? And so you have to ask the Lord the same way. How do you want me? Help me to have relationship and intimacy with you. The third thing, read the Word, the Bible. Got to read. Every day, read. And if you have this little machine like I have in my house, I just call its name and say, read the Bible, and it starts reading to me. Okay? I'm not going to give it advertisement. You figure it out. All right? And it reads to me every day. Open the Bible plan and read. and it reads to me, and I open my Bible, and I'm hearing the Word of God every morning. And it does a lot of other things too, but that's one of the things I enjoy about that little thing. Read the Word. Even if you read a scripture a day, read it. You know, one thing about the Word of God is funny. You know, whenever you're hungry, you eat, right? And when you eat, you're full. True? But did you know the Word of God, the more you read, the hungrier you get? It's the opposite. Isn't that funny? That the more you read of God's Word, the more hungry you get. Because God begins to create an appetite for Himself within us. Oh, man, you should tweet that or something. 4, write your praises. How you get intimate with God? Get a notebook and start writing your thanks. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, thank you for my kids. You know what? Thank you for you. Thank you for all of you showing up every week. Thank you for the praise team. You know what? There's a lot of work to get music. Thank you, God, for the sound guys. They never get any accolades, but anything that goes wrong, everybody's head's turned. Right? Everything. Write down. When you write down your praises, as Bishop Dave Dolan says, you activate the creative mind of God. You need creative ideas? Start writing down your praises, and you begin to activate the creative mind of God. You know, another way I would tell you like this, just start writing down praises, and all of a sudden, God will give you vision and creativity and ideas and say, wow, I never thought of that. We know, because you just had the mind of God. When you begin to praise God, things change. Your environment change. Your attitude change. Your mind change. Your heart change. You know, since we started the praise thing, I've had at least 3 people this week. One of them texted me and said, Pastor, I had such a good attitude. You know, before I was complaining about this situation, but I thank God for this miracle. Another person wrote and said, you know what? I had a little accident with my car. I should have been mad. That was Danny. I should have been mad. Pastor Danny said, I should have been mad. I wanted to be mad, but I couldn't be mad. Because there are things to praise. And I said, brother, one of the big things is you've got a growing family and your wife is pregnant. Thank God you're not hurt. I'm praising God that you walked away. Amen. When you start praising God, you begin to activate the creativity of God. You be better on your job. You be a better teacher. You be a better nurse. You be better at whatever you do. You start getting ideas. You start getting ideas of how to talk to people in a better way to persuade them to love God more. Oh, Lord, we got to start praising God more. We got to start praising God more. You know, one of the things I love about music, praise music, is I like praise music that praises God and not saying, God, it's about me. No, it's not about me. It's about you, because I know if it's about you, things start changing. Right? Things start changing. When you preach about God, things start changing. It has got to not be about the preacher. It has to be about God. It has to be about His plan and His purpose for each and everybody's life. When you start hearing preachers always talking about their heartache and their problems and their issues and how come this, you are not praising God. Get away from them. Because that's not a plan. That's not a vision. That is bitterness speaking right into your heart. Hey, we all go through things. But get around people that's positive and smiling. Get around people that start praising. Hey, I thank God. You know what? I don't have everything I want, but you know what? The things I have is good. It's good. It's good. You know what? It's good. You know, I had to go to a memorial service last night of a pastor. I don't know him very well, but I know 2 of his children very, very well. When I got home, you know, we were getting ready for bed, and I was lying in bed next to my wife, and I held her hand, and she said, you okay, honey? And I recognized something. I said, you know what? I better thank my wife for being a great wife now, because I can't imagine what happens, right? And then I look at all the flowers, and I told my wife, I said, I look at all those flowers. I said, I wonder if they gave him flowers when he was alive. And, you know, think about it. And then my wife goes, men don't like flowers. That's why I could never have pride, because I have a wife to keep me humble. Right? And she's like, but men don't like flowers. I said, but you know what I mean. We celebrate people when they're dead. But why don't we celebrate and enjoy each other when they're alive? Because while we think that they are a burden, you better check yourself. Because they could be gone. And you'd be like, oh, I should have gave him flowers when he was living. I should have told him how much I appreciate him. I should have told him how much I value him. I should have told him how godly they were. I should have told him that they were an influence in my life. I should have told him when he was alive. Because he's gone now. See, I don't want to be like that. I don't ever want that to walk a day in my life and regret not telling people I love them, not regret not telling them I appreciate them, regret not telling them how much I honor and respect their life and the things they do. We need to start telling the Lord that too, and not wait until something happens. I don't want to just praise God, you know, when everything's going well. I don't want to praise God when things aren't going well. I just want to praise God all the time. Before the fifth thing, be still. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. We are running to and fro too much. Can you take this time, and here's some things this week as you're writing your praises, close your book and just be silent for about 5 minutes. I promise you it's more difficult than you. It's just 5 minutes. Isn't that hard? Yes, it is. And all of a sudden, your phone will go ding. Who's texting me? Who? Watch. Try to be silent for 5 minutes and see if you can hear the voice of God. Six. God often speaks in a small, still voice. 1 Kings says 19:12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. See, oftentimes we always asking, Lord, drop down a neon sign to tell me what I should do. Did you know he never does? Oftentimes, you know, I'm still waiting for the neon sign. I have never seen him drop a neon sign and say, Lum, go left. Never. Oh, you're doing good. No. It's that moment of waiting on him and crying out before him and say, God, speak. See, in this story in 1 Kings, it was about a man by the name of Elijah. And he did great feats. He called fire from the sky and he ran and lived in a cave. And the Lord says, what are you doing? He said, I'm the one that stood, and the Lord came and shook the mountain. The Lord came in fire and all this. But yet the Lord didn't speak to him. The Lord spoke to him in a small, still voice. Sometimes that you know what that tells me? That tells me that God says, come away with me. In the book of Song of Solomon, he says, come away with me, my love. And it means come away. Even in the book of Mark, chapter 6, when John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, his head was cut off, and the disciples were going through the town witnessing and doing all this stuff they were telling, and there's people, the Bible says, they're coming back and forth. There's so many people. And the Bible says, Jesus says, come away with me. Let us go away for a while. See, there's time that we got to draw away and allow God to speak to us. Be still for a moment and listen to the voice of God. How do you draw near to the Lord? Put all your trust and faith in God. Ask God to help you. Can you tell? Can you ask God to help you? You know, in any relationship, you have to ask people how you can be a better friend. Think about it. Because every friend of yours is different, isn't it? You know, women have this down. They really do. Right? Women have a intimacy that us men, we don't get. I mean, I'm just going to be real. Us guys, we're like, how's the family? Good. You know, how's your kids? Good. Work? Good. All right, what was the score last night? That's us. Right? It's very difficult for us. Right? Because our emotion is, but women tend to be very intimate. You know, you see two friends and they're women and they're sitting there and you don't know what they're talking about and they're crying. I'm like, what are y'all crying about? I don't get it. You know, and you don't see two men that are crying like that. It's just not us. You know, I do cry but before the Lord, but I'm not crying over lunch, okay? Pastor Danny and I, we're not crying over sushi, man. Unless something really bad happened, it's good. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to say is you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, how I can become more intimate. So this week, while you're writing your praises, ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be more intimate with you? Really, how can I? How can I love you more? You know that when I got married, I did not know how to love my wife. So I had to ask the Lord, Lord, can you teach me how to love my wife more? You know, when I came into pastoring, can I tell you, being half Vietnamese, right? I never liked my own people. I'm just going to be honest about that. People used to say, oh, man, you've been trained. You know all this stuff. Why don't you go and help your own people? And I used to say just like this. I said, well, other people need Jesus too. That was my answer. You know, and so when God had gotten me back into the Vietnamese community, I had a really hard time with it. And so I had to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to love my people. And the Lord had to. And today, wherever you are, maybe you are having a hard time learning to love your husband or your wife or learning to love yourself. Ooh. Or learning how to love others. Or learning how to love God. I told you, knowledge, just because you have not a lot of knowledge about God does not mean you're intimate. You know, a man can read every book on how to love his wife. That doesn't mean he know how to do it. True? You could read every self-help book. Doesn't mean anything. But today, maybe you don't know how to love your kids anymore. That could be. You know, because they're older, they're younger, whatever. You just lost contact. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've been through a broken relationship. And you say, Lord, I've been through one broken relationship already, Lord. How do I love again? How do I love again? Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to ask the Lord, say, God, show me how to love them like you love them. Show me how to love that person. Show me how to love my kids. Show me how to love my spouse. Show me how to love my friend. Show me how to love those that I did not care for. That was me. And I could tell you that every time I pray over the nation of my birth, I weep before the Lord. That's never happened. That only started 7 years ago. Think about that. I want to tell you today, wherever you are, I'm going to close. Wherever you are, I want you to think again. What area of your heart that you need God to help you to be more intimate with Him? For me, it doesn't matter what it is. What matters is you ask the Lord to help you to hear His voice because it will draw you to be more intimate. Because you have to understand, intimacy with the Lord is intentional. It doesn't just start because you go to church. It doesn't just start by just reading and having a lot of knowledge. It starts because you say, God, I want to read because I want to know you more. I want to read because I want to make an intentional step. I want to go to church because I want to make an intentional step towards you. Because when you are intimate with the Lord, you begin to love and see things that He sees. And you begin to love people in a different way. You know that even for us, when we love God, we begin to see those that are out there that are hurting, that are different. And we might not understand them, but we begin to love them and we'll make an intentional effort to reach them. And not just reach just the people we like. You know, I challenge every one of you at the sound of my voice, even those that are watching us via internet, that for the end, until now, until the end of the year, I want you to double yourself. Meaning what? If you're a teacher, I want you to intentionally befriend a teacher and show them the love of Christ. Not a Christian per se, but someone that maybe don't know God or has known God and fell away. If you're an engineer, I want you to intentionally double yourself and reach somebody. If you're a consultant, if you're a CPA, if you're retired, I want you to find somebody that's retired and double yourself and let them know the love of Christ. And for the Christmas gift that you give to the Lord is to lead somebody to Christ before the year ends. That's my Christmas gift. You know, my goal is to win one person to Christ every month before the year ends. It's my goal. I hope that's your goal, is to lead somebody to Christ, one person to Christ before the end of the year. But my personal goal is I've got September, October, November, December. I got four. But that's just me. But I challenge you before the year ends that you would lead somebody that does not know Christ to the Lord before the end of the year. And if you're really going to step up, then join me and let us intentionally reach. Look, let's not do a bucket list and just say, hey, I just want to reach somebody because I want to win a contest. No, no, no. I want to lead them to Christ so that they would have a relationship with Him. Forever change them. Just like He's changed me. And don't do it just like a contest, but do it because you really say, God, I want them to know You. And intentionally walk into their life and begin to disciple them and love them and be intentional. Double yourself. If you're into sports, find you somebody. I can tell you, there are one of my closest friends go to this church, and you know him. I walk with him, and I intentionally became his friend. It took a long time, but he became a Christian, and I'm so happy about that. And then I see his sister and his brother come to Christ. It's not bragging about me, but that didn't happen because it happened because we are intentional. Get intentional. Find you somebody and start getting into their life and care about them. Really care about them. Because the world is not against Christ. They're just waiting on us to do what we need to do. As they sing this song, we have a few minutes. We're early. Let us just ask the Lord today, Lord, show me a picture of that friend right now that I can double myself. I'm not telling you to bring them to church. They'll come to church, but I'm telling you to get involved into their life. Be intentional. Bring them back. If they're falling away, bring them back. Let's go ahead and sing.
Sweet the sound. our failures, you take our weakness, you set your treasures in jars of clay. So take this heart.